much for all your work there. And also, I know that every day, there's just the everyday grind behind the scenes, working in the office that goes on that nobody sees or appreciates. The videos we see from Impact or Fall Retreat or the Senior Banquet, those things just don't fall out of a tree. They're produced by somebody, and not in just a couple of minutes either, I know. Justin has been at the bottom of those things, and we thank you for that work. He is always writing cards to kids who have visited, to some of our kids that's already in the group. He's a tireless worker and does so much for us. He produces a newsletter that's sent out to the kids and a calendar, and he just takes care of things on a daily basis that we don't even think about. Visitation, on a personal note, I can say in visitation, a couple years ago when Ethan had his surgery, you know, we show up at Vanderbilt at 6 o'clock, and Justin was there, along with several other of you here in this body, but he was there and there all day. And it's just little things. He didn't. I don't know if we spoke that day, Justin. Probably not, because I was a wreck. But you were there, and we appreciate that. Those things are so important. An area that he's shown a lot of maturity in is stewardship. You know, every year we have to submit a budget to the eldership, and Justin has been getting better and better with the budget. He strives to be a good steward and to use the funds that you all have entrusted to him in a way that gives God glory, and we thank him for that, because each year he comes in under budget, and he's not just a little bit, he's considerably under budget, and we're just so thankful for his stewardship. We thank you, Justin, and Amanda, for all the work that you've done here for our family at Forest Mill. And I just want to say that our loss is going to be Recife's gain. And on a more personal note, thank you guys for loving my kids and showing them Jesus in your lives. Appreciate that. And I'll close with the words of Jesus Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Thank you, guys. We love you very much. And at this time, Russ Parker is going to come up and talk a little bit about the mission side of our support in Brazil.
Well, Joel just kind of struck a chord there, because the father-son thing actually happened to us. We went camping one time at a place where we camp a lot, and I walked in with Justin, and the guy comes out, and he says, "Hey, is this your youngin?" It's like, "No, it's not my youngin." I'm barely older than he is. But anyway, I just want to, you know, kind of continue what Joel started. I want to sincerely thank Justin and Amanda for a really good 5 or 6 years that they've been here. We've had the opportunity to work with them a lot as core group leaders in the teens, and you know, I've got two kids that for the rest of their life, it's Justin's going to be their youth minister, and that's the same for a lot of these guys sitting up here. They'll always call Justin and Amanda their youth ministers, and we appreciate that, and thank you so much for that. And while it is sad to think that we're not going to be seeing them here on a regular basis like we're used to seeing, it's really exciting to know that as a body here at Forest Mill, we are still going to be closely tied to Justin and Amanda and the work that they're doing in Recife and in Brazil. You may not be aware of this, but our shepherds at Forest Mill are going to continue to be overseeing the work there. We're going to be the overseeing congregation for the work that Justin and Amanda are doing. Our congregation is going to be supporting them financially as well, along with several individuals in the body here. And by the way, that opportunity's still there. And if you're not able to do that now, there will be opportunities in the future for you to do that. But we're going to be tied closely to Justin and Amanda, and we're happy about that. We're going to try to revamp our board in the back so that we'll have a good spot for them. We can keep communications up there from them and emails and those kinds of things. So you guys will hopefully have all that information available to you at all times. I really think this is a good step for these guys, because as I think about the ministry and the work that they've done here, if you've ever been back into the building out back on a Wednesday night, you see a lot of kids that you don't see in here on Sunday morning. Justin has done a great job of being able to open the doors to kids that some of them are not, they're unchurched kids, I guess you could say, or they're not actively involved in another church somewhere, but they feel welcome here, and they come in and feel at home, and they're a part of a core group, and I appreciate the way that Justin and Amanda have made that available to them, and I think this is just an extension of that. Now they can go to Brazil and be able to be that kind of an influence on kids' lives there. So if you ever have any questions or want to know more about how the congregation's involved there, be sure and let me know, and we'll fill you in on that. But I just want to close and turn it back over to Daryl, but I do want to again say we love you guys, and we thank you so much for the work that you've put in here. We appreciate it.
Justin, we have a lot in common. I was just thinking this week, we went to the mission field, and when I went, I was 28 years old. I'm not sure exactly how old you are, but you're somewhere around in there. When I went to Jordan, Elaine was 5 months pregnant, and I think your wife is right about there. I went to Jordan because my father-in-law invited me, and you're going there to work with your father-in-law, aren't you? A lot of commonalities there. I left family behind, and you're going to be leaving some of your family behind the same way. In fact, probably some of your family do not understand why you're going to Brazil. I know when I went to Jordan, when we went to Jordan, it's the only time in my life that I can recall my father weeping. And probably some of your family right now are weeping, but at the same time are very proud of your willingness to serve the Lord. I'm absolutely certain of that. I remember the day that we left, I was very nervous and anxious. Now, you don't look very nervous and anxious, but I want you to know it's time. Anytime you can start looking nervous and anxious. But it will help an awful lot to have family and friends who are behind you and supporting you. And to know that you have a congregation such as this, where you are known, you're not an unknown, who will be corresponding to you, who will be phone calling you, who will be praying for you. I know that you've worked hard traveling, raising money, and you always hope that you have enough. And I hope that God has blessed you sufficiently and will continue to bless you. But now you go, believing that you are called of God. And that's the way I went, believing. And I think that's the only way you can go. And I think perhaps because of your going, you will understand a little bit more the call of Abraham and how it's a call of faith to go. Maybe you'll understand the call of Paul a little bit more, how that Paul was willing to make a new beginning in ministry and even suffer deprivation to go out of his way. And you will understand believing your father-in-law had a call of God too, as well as others. So with those thoughts in mind, I would like to share some of the things that I learned as I worked on the mission field with Elaine. First of all, I'd like to share with you that you should go as a representative of God's kingdom, not representing the American United States government. Now that may sound strange, because you are an American, you're a patriot. But there are a lot of people on the mission field that will see you only as an American. And sometimes they will put you in that category, and they will want to know why America does this, or why America supports our enemies, or why America does this. You don't have to answer for the American government. In fact, there's times that I've even zoned people in the Middle East that ask me why Americans drink so much and why they're doing so many drugs. And I'd say, you know, I can't understand that either. I wish they'd get their lives together. But you're a representative of God's kingdom. And as such, you want to represent him as a person of character and a person who is full of the Holy Spirit. And if you will go representing his kingdom, that is the best you can do. Don't allow being American to stand in your way, but use it for opportunities just like the Apostle Paul did. Secondly, go as a team member. And that means to respect the traditions and the foundations that have already been established. Now, you know what it means to have teamwork. You work as the team here with the minister and the elders and the other people in youth ministry, some of those that have just spoken here, you know, your two dads. But when you go to the mission field and you work with people, especially your father-in-law, because I did tell you I went to work with my father-in-law, you have to realize, especially with your father-in-law, that you are the junior member of the team. And it's especially important, as I did with my father-in-law, to say, you know, this man has 14 years of experience here. I may not agree with everything that he does. In fact, there's some things I'd like to change, but he's the senior minister. And I would regard that with high respect. And, you know, sometimes as you begin to work a little bit more and he realizes your need, at some point he's going to realize that you've got to step up to the plate and maybe be a senior minister of the team, and that will be a very good day. In time, you'll be able to help establish some traditions, maybe some relationship traditions. That will be very good. Thirdly, I'd like to say go as a praying Christian. Now, maybe this should be obvious that Christians should pray, but sometimes we don't always pray as we ought. Ministers don't always pray as they ought. I'd like to say something about that sometime in the future. Sometimes we pray mundane prayers. We pray prayers we got to. When you're on the mission field, you got to pray. You got to pray. Why? Because the Scripture says that without God, nothing is going to be accomplished. But with God, all things are possible. And there's times on the mission field when it seems like nothing is happening. That's when you pray. There's times when you feel like you're discouraged. That's why you pray. And there's times that you know that God is going to answer your prayer, and at just the right time, you're going to have a harvest. So expect God to answer your prayers. Let him hear your heart. Amanda, I'd like to say something to you. You are the partner. You are his partner. And I remember when I went, Elaine was my partner. And probably if I didn't have the experience with Elaine, I wouldn't have gone to the Middle East. I mean, of all places to go, I might have gone somewhere else, but not to the Middle East. But this girl grew up in the Middle East. Amanda, didn't you grow up in Brazil? This girl spoke the language over there. Don't you speak some of the language? This girl loved the Arabic people. You love the Brazilian people. And so when I went over there, I had instant credibility as a person who had married someone who loved the people, as someone who respected their customs. And sometimes when I said, those doggone Arab people, and there's probably times that you'll say that, Justin, on the Brazilian people, Amanda will be able to intercede for you and say, now, here's why they do this. And Amanda, that will be very good. You will be able to help him in incredible ways. But I would also remind you that what a man needs is the love of his companion. Deeper than anything, Justin and Eli and the new one to come, the little girl, will need you as a person to establish the home, as a haven of peace and security and love. That's what a man needs more than anything. That's what I had from Elaine. And that's what you can be for Justin and for your family. And the last thing that I would like to say, next last thing is to be patient. Be patient. You know, when you're young, you're not always patient. And I know you've learned some patience here in many ways, but when you go to the mission field, things just don't happen the way they do. There's a lot more red tape. There's a lot more things happening. You wish things would happen faster. When I was a young man your age, I thought you showed people 5 Jewel Miller Shrimp Strips and expect them to get in the baptistry. I learned an awful lot of patience from my father-in-law. And being on the mission field the longest taught me that you've got to build relationships with people. Can't push them, but you can certainly love them and pull them. And boy, the patience. And then eventually some of those people respond that you thought would never respond. And I'm sure that will happen to you too. So be patient. And being patient means never quitting, never giving up, but always trusting that in the proper time, things will happen. And the last thing that I'd like to say, last thing for sure, is to go with God. Always go with God, because that's our source of strength. And just like Abraham, just like Paul, just like your father-in-law, I want to remind you what Paul wrote. Sometimes we read over it so quickly in Scripture. But Paul would say, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And so we say today, the grace of God, the blessedness of His Spirit, the presence of our Savior, and the power in His name go with you. Amen.
Of all the people that will stand up here first, I'm probably the one that has spoken the least to Justin, and no advice to Amanda, because my wife doesn't take my advice very well, so I certainly wouldn't want to. But I know in my line of work, young man, I don't function well, somebody watching over my shoulder. I was raised that way, and I have exhibited myself to you in that manner. But it hadn't been that I hadn't been paying attention to you, son. In listening to some of these words that have been said here, I am appreciative how when problems arise, you jump at it. Tackle it. That's the way to do. Don't shove it under the rug, as some of us would do, but deal with it. Deal with it. My words to you are this way, young couple. First of all, you're going there, and it's a different setting now. It was mom and daddy. But now you've got a man, so y'all are going as a family there. So establish that, work on that, stay on that, first and foremost, because that's the biggest mission we're talking about here. You do that and y'all will do well. But in considering this man that we all read about all the time, the Apostle Paul, the one thing that I think he had within him was the ability to change wherever he found himself. And that's what you all are going to have to do when you get where you're going. No matter how you think it's going to be, you're going to have to change. Now, God stays the same, but us folk, we got to change. You're going to find that in what you face. No matter what the plans you have, what you envision, you'll probably have to change. I wish you well in your adaptability. That's what I'd say to you.
Well, when Tom told us that we were going to say something this morning, we have had plenty of time to think about what we wanted to say. And I guess what that came to my mind is how can I relate to what you're doing? You're going to be leaving the safety and security of Manchester family and going over to Brazil. And the closest I could come to was 3 days after graduating from high school, going to the military. And leaving a small town about the size of Manchester, and I really should have been frightened, I think, and scared of what the unknown was out there. But I got there, and it was an experience. I mean, I was in a Boy Scout. There, we got to do a lot of hiking. We got to do a lot of camping. I got to carry a big gun. So it was really neat. And I probably should not have gone to New York City by myself. But I had this thing that I kind of liked to go there, and I made my way to the Statue of Liberty, and I'd call home. And Dad would say, "Where are you?" "Well, I'm at the Statue of Liberty." "Who are you with?" "By myself." Well, after they calmed down a little bit, but I should have been really frightened to do something, even to think about going to New York City at 17 to that. I went to Washington, D.C., and that was a great experience, seeing all the monuments and everything, going to Atlantic City. And when I look back at that, I just try to think, why wasn't I afraid? Why was it an experience and an adventure rather than being afraid? I came up with two things. One, I knew God was with me. Never had a doubt. Always knew that he was there. That was the first thing. The second thing, I'd been taught how to behave. I'd been taught where to go, what to do, what not to do. So it kept me out of a lot of trouble. So I know that you believe in God and he's going to be with you. I know you've been taught well. So you have those two things. And so I hope this is an adventure for you, because you don't have to be afraid if you know that God is there. Let me, one of my favorite verses here, and it kind of goes along with that, is in Philippians 4, and we've all heard it, and we've all read it, but it's one of those things I like to keep going back to. And in verse 6 there in the fourth chapter, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the peace of God shall be with you." Good luck.
I think that one of the first things the elders need to say is, we really don't want you to go. I think that it may go without saying, but we do want to say that. We realize the way you have grown and the talents that y'all have and the way you've connected with our body. They're special. They're not replaceable. Certainly not easily or very soon. And we will miss that. Our kids will miss you. We will miss you. Also, I think one of the things that whatever little advice other than trying to correct a little grammar or something that I had that was worth anything was that your ministry is going to be powerful if you build relationships in our body. And I'm not so sure you didn't know that already, but you certainly took it to heart. And you built relationships with us. You took the time to do that. And that has been special to each of us. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for your heart. That was the thing that came clear to us about Justin and Amanda, is that, you know, they're just like us, just full of flaws, you know, and humanity. But, oh, their heart is for the right things. And that says it all. And God blesses that. And we can work through things that way. And we appreciate that. Will serve you well as you go. Having said we didn't want you to go, we are supportive of you going. Because I believe God's hand is on that. I've been drawn, as I've thought about these remarks, to 1 Timothy because of just that older brother, father, whatever figure, grandfather, that I was just sitting there thinking all the times I used to take Samuel places and people say, "Oh, is this your grandson?" You know, so anyway. It's Paul just longing to give everything he could to his beloved Timothy. And he shared so many things with him. But one thing he said, he talked about our hope's going to be in the living God. That's where all our hope is. Not in our talent, not in our ability, not in our plan, but in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But rather, set an example for the believers in your speech, and in your life, and in your love, in your faith, and your purity. And you've done that among us. I pray that you'll do that. It draws people. It glorifies God. And most of all, it's what's endeared you to us. And we pray what's best for you. And we thank you for your hearts.
I am next to the last. It's always scary to me when I see somebody open up a Bible up here and start pulling out paper. And how long is he going to talk? You know? Not long. I have enjoyed so much all the days that we've been together and prayed and talked and dreamed of how God would use us in this body and toiled over things, the lunches, the prayers. One of my favorite places to eat in the whole world is Subway. Have not grown weary of Subway yet. It was all in the beginning a thing about being healthy, but that was all an illusion, you know, or just faking it. But I suppose it is healthy, isn't it? But when Justin came over the day before and said, Amanda and I would like to go out to eat with you guys tomorrow, you know, that was a little unusual. And so we went and ate at Subway the next day. And first meal at Subway that I've just cried all the way through that meal. And that was the day that Justin and Amanda shared with us their plans. And like Ray said, I don't want you to go. But, you know, who are we to get in God's way? That's just not what we're about, is it? But still, that was a very difficult day. But for us to come to the place to share the joy of anticipation and the joy of you guys fulfilling God's calling, you know, what else could we share in that would be any more joyful? Justin and Amanda, one of my favorite passages that comes to mind for me that I would like to just read with you, both of you, Philemon verse 7 says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you," and I'm going to add a word here, "you, brother, sister, and family, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." And that is not an understatement. You have truly been a family of refreshment for this body. And there could be, take us all day for the people among this body to get up and say how you have refreshed the saints of this body here. And so just take that to heart and let this day stand with you as a remembrance, as an Ebenezer from God and from this body, that you will look back on the days you're tired and the days you're discouraged and the days you rejoice and just remember this day and draw on as a source of strength for you guys. And we are there with you. We are there with you in our hearts. I want to read another passage, and we're going to do somewhat of a little presentation here this morning. And I think even at risk of you guys just being uncomfortable standing up here, I'd like for you to come on up and just stand with me. Taking care of Eli.
We don't know where he's at.
Okay. All right, he's here. I was thinking this was a family deal. I'm going to just read with you part of John chapter 13, okay? Eli, you can just keep an eye on us here, buddy. It's all right. There you go. It was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer garment, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured the water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And then I'm going to skip some verses here and just sort of get to the middle part of the chapter. And after that had taken place, in some conversation with he and Peter and the others, he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Think back on some of Jesus' words as he was sending out the 12 and just getting them ready to leave. He says, you have received freely, now give freely. And we would like for you guys to take this towel with you and accept it with the inscription there. This actually comes from the Message. You have been treated generously, so live generously. And I know that will not be a change of habit for you guys because of where your heart is, because you give generously as God has blessed you generously. So take this, and this says, the more family you have been treated generously, so live generously, Forest Mill. And please take this and accept the charge that our Lord gives us, reminds us how we have been treated and to treat others. No holding back, no qualification, no expectation, just give. And he, as we learned in our class this morning, he is our great reward. What else could we want? So please take this. As David comes up, he's going to say some words over you guys. And as we read in Acts on several occasions where the elders prayed over folks and sent them with their blessing, David's going to lead that prayer. And I'm going to ask any of the young people here that have been under the youth ministry of Justin and Amanda, I would like for you to come stand with them. Anybody else who wants to, too, we'll just clear out as much space as we need to. But I would like for you young people to stand with Justin and Amanda as we pray over you guys. So come on down, guys.
Let's pray together. Our holy God and righteous Father, we thank you for times like this, times when you've imprinted in our hearts so deeply the love that you share for us as we see it in the relationships we can have on this earth with each other, these points of transition, points where we come together and have open hearts that reflect your love and reflect what you've done for us. Father, we thank you for Justin and for Amanda and for what they've meant to this body, for the time that they've shared their lives with each of us, for what they've meant to the folks through the youth ministry that are surrounding them right now, that they've ministered to, touched lives, shaped hearts, led towards you. Father, we just thank you for that. Thank you for their involvement and their engagement and for their prayers, for the things seen and for the things unseen that they've done. Father, so often when we've been to a hospital or a funeral home or other place, Justin's been there for folks throughout this congregation. And I just appreciate that part of the ministry as well, of caring, of love, of being there. Father, as Justin, Amanda, as Eli, as they go to this new field, this new opportunity, we pray with all our hearts that you would bless them, that you would work with them. We pray for the folks that are in Recife right now who haven't yet met them in the way that they will know them, and pray that their hearts will be open. Pray that their lives will be ready to be touched and changed. Father, we pray that they can see you working through Justin and Amanda and their family there. Father, we pray that the hearts of Justin and Amanda, of Eli, that they'll be open to learn from brothers and sisters who are already there, from folks who know you and folks who are seeking you and folks who are taking those bold steps to come to you, that they can be encouraged and lifted up. Father, we don't know if we as a group will ever be together again here on this earth. We just don't know what the future holds today, tomorrow, or next week, or month, or year. But we have that knowledge of being before you on the day of judgment, of your looking at our lives. And Father, we just pray that as you look back on the lives of Justin and Amanda and their family at that time, you can say, well done, good and faithful servants, that you will know of the the riches they've brought to your kingdom. Father, bless them. Give them safety. Give them courage and comfort their hearts as they step forward to serve you. We praise you and pray you'll be with them. In Christ's name, amen.
We love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. We can see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
We thank you for being here today. We have a number of announcements as more and more folks are getting a hug in. We do have a potluck afterwards in honor of the Moors afterwards, and we look forward to that time together in fellowship. We have a few birthdays we want to mention. We have Nick Hibden, Matthew Pruford, and Dexter Roberts have birthdays today. Is there anyone else that we need to remember? Any special day for folks? All right, let's sing happy birthday to these folks.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, God bless you all. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you for your presence today. It's been stated, but it's never, we should continue to say that. Thank you for being here. Announcement-wise, we are going to have a change of venue as far as the Super Bowl, our gathering, our traditional gathering. We're not going to have one this year. This occurs on the time of our small group date, and if you so decide to meet as a small group, that's the way we choose to do this. Now, we may change next year, you can't tell, but this year we won't have our big church gathering as a Super Bowl gathering. Daryl mentioned the step studies that's going to begin in the middle of February. And I need to remind the ministry leaders that next Sunday we will have a gathering about 4:30 before our singing. All right, next Sunday at 4:30. Now, I've got some words We were given some words about Mr. Dewey Sarton, who is who's gravely ill. I'll save those words until we have our prayer, if that'll be okay with you, brothers and sisters. Now, are the announcements going behind me up here? I know I'm missing some, probably here. Do y'all have enough luggage? Two or three more bags. All right, women's ministry announcement. Talk with Lanny in this regard. Lanny or Lori. And here's our meal. Oh, yes, coming up soon. I have been made aware of the fact that there's a guest book over here when we have our meal. And if you are so inclined to write down your thoughts to Justin and Amanda and would like to, take the guest book and jot down your thoughts. I don't know exactly where it's located. Look for it. There's a guest book there. If you want something, you got something you want to say to them, you want them to be sure to remember, write it down. And as I pray, I want to ask thanks for the food that we are going to have over here. Now, Michael,